Hey, everybody, it's Graham, and it's Friday, which means today we get to bring you another trending clip. This week,
Jesse Ventura.
What you're about to listen to is trending this week on our Facebook page. Hope you enjoy.
I want to take you back to your time as a Navy SEAL. Your parents both served, but interestingly, they weren't, I don't believe, initially fond of the idea of you and skipping college?
No, my father, he had six, my mother and father, I have a rarity, they're both World War II veterans. My mother served as a nurse in North Africa, and my father had six bronze battle stars. He served in North Africa, he served in Normandy, the Battle of the Bulge, Remagen Bridge, Anzio, and Berlin, all of them. And my father was as anti-war as you would find. And so my father's only advice to me was this. He said, look, if you got to go in the service, and he was biased because he was in the Army. He said, join the Air Force or the Navy, because he said they'll at least teach you something that you can use. But my dad didn't literally realize I would become Brown Water Navy, which essentially, I'll put it this way, when I got out, I could go on a year's unemployment. When I went to the unemployment office, they asked me what I was qualified to do, and my buddies told me how to answer, who got out before me. When they ask you what you're qualified to do as a Navy SEAL or frogman, it's I'm qualified for diving, demolition, and parachuting. So what kind of civilian job are you gonna get?
Right.
Hand me my unemployment check.
How would you best explain what SEAL training entailed?
It's difficult. It's not for everyone. 300 kids were in the room in boot camp when they gave us the screen test. Probably 30 stayed to take it. Out of the 300 that were originally in the room and the 30 that took the screen test to qualify, only four of us passed. Four out of 300. Then when you get to training, you've got all guys that have passed that screen test. Your average class will start with about 100 to 125 guys, and you'll probably graduate at about 25.
Wow.
So it has a 75 to 80% attrition rate. So it's not for everyone, and it doesn't make you a hero making it. It's just a certain job that you're highly qualified to do.
What made the training worse than you were even expecting going into it?
All of it as a whole, because during the entire time you're there, you're not allowed to walk.
What do you mean?
You have to run. You run to run. You run to chow. You run everywhere you go. Walking's not allowed during the training cycle of the day. So imagine how far you actually do run. And swimming was my strong point in training. Truly, what makes it tough, you're a triathlete. That's the best way to describe it. Plus harassment. You're harassed by the instructors constantly. They try to make you quit.
I know this is an insignificant story, but what happened shortly after you enlist when you admit to having blisters on your hands?
Oh, no, that was the first day I ran the O course. I didn't get any pre-training. I got there on Friday and class started Monday, and my hands weren't toughened. And so when I ran the O course, normally you do it in about 10 minutes when you get good at it. That day it took me 45, the first day of training. And I ended up at the end of the day with about four big flapping blisters on my hands because they weren't toughened. I'd just come from A school. You know, I'd never run the old course before, where some guys got there a month ahead of time and got to practice on it and toughen up for it. And that day, at the end of the day, Terry Moy, Instructor Moy, who's a good friend of mine today, we're close friends. He was my first phase instructor, the most terrifying man I'd ever met on the earth. And he came out with a table and a first aid kit. And he looked at all of us and says, okay, which one of you pukes as flappers? And I looked at my hands and thought, God, I need medical attention. And I made the mistake, I raised my hand. Something you don't do, don't bring any attention to yourself. You learn that, I learned mine that day. So he called me in front of the class and said, let me see, and I held him out. He said, oh, you got flappers. Then he said, are you right-handed or left-handed? And I said, I'm right-handed. He said, okay, hold your right hand out. So I held my right hand out, and I thought he was gonna take mercuricome, alcohol, whatever, I figured I needed it. He grabbed every flapper and ripped them off. So I'm standing there now with tears running down my face. Nothing hurt that bad in my life. Then he made me turn to the class and he said, okay, now you do the other hand. So I had to stand in front of the class and rip off my own flappers. And then he looked at me and says, now get back in line, you big dummy. What did I learn from that? Don't bring any attention to yourself. Blend in. Do not allow the instructors to focus on you. They will at some point, everybody, but don't bring it on unneeded.
Explain what Hell Week is.
That's the fifth week of training. You've done all physical, and they call it Motivation Week. And basically, they just, the instructors divide into two groups, and they keep you awake from Sunday night until whenever it ends, which in the old days was Saturday. Then they found out nobody quit from Friday to Saturday. They went through every class, so they ended it on Friday, which is better, because they learned nobody quit the last day anyway. So why torture an extra day? Well, and that just, what happens there is that ends first phase. Now they've got the nucleus of the people they want. They've eliminated, as we called them, the bananas. You know what a banana is? That's someone who's soft on the outside and soft on the inside.
How many people that start Hell Week end up finishing it?
I don't know.
Okay.
I have no way of knowing.
What was the single hardest part of that week?
Staying awake. You're busy. Have you ever stayed awake for a long time?
I mean, not for a week. Right. How do you do it?
You go on automatic pilot, pretty much. I don't know.
How do you do it?
I don't know. But what it does, that gets them to the point of the people they want. Then you move forward to second phase. The runs still continue. The PTs continue. The harassment continues. You think once you get through first phase, oh, I can take a breath. Ah, you get a whole new set of instructors. And all of it starts again, except now they're teaching you. Second phase for me was demolition and land warfare. Mm-hmm. You finish that, then you go to third phase, and a whole net of new instructors again, and you go into diving. And then they teach you how to dive with scuba, mixed gas, rebreathers, everything you're going to do. But it's the first phase which gets them to the men they want. Then it becomes smarts. You still lose guys in second and third phase. Maybe they're not intelligent enough. Maybe they're incapable of diving. A lot of people cannot dive. Their heads can't equalize, whatever it might be. Now, they've given you a pressure test before you get there, but they also do something called pool harassment during dive phase, where you're under the water. They rip your mask off. They shut your air off. They do all this stuff to you to see if you'll panic under the water. And some guys fail then. For some reason, claustrophobic, they'll panic underwater. But they'll usually roll them back to another class and give them a second chance.
Okay. Tell about when you were running an ops and ran into a dam.
No, that we went over a dam.
Or went over a dam.
Yeah, we just, Intel didn't tell us that there was a dam, and unfortunately, we were three rubber rafts, and the first two went over, and the second one made it to shore, and it got critical because it was the first time I went over this dam, and I had a full ammo load, full weapons, all that stuff, and it was the first time in my life I was helpless in water. In other words, I was at the will of the water whether I survived or not.
What were you thinking was going to happen?
That I was dead. Because I was tumbling underwater in the dam, and I couldn't get out. And as long as I kept tumbling in there, what could I do? And actually, I remember it distinctly. I remember seeing my mother and father looking down at me in a casket, I was in a casket. And I remember being very calm about it and going, well, you have two choices. You can hold your breath till you pass out, or you can inhale water. I chose the first, holding my breath till I passed out. And all of a sudden I kicked up and I was in the air, but then I was sucked right back down again. I didn't even have time to get a fresh breath of air. I was still on the original one because I didn't know what would happen. It happened another time. And then finally I felt my boots drag on the bottom and my head came out of the water and I came up, I'm guessing about 100 meters down from the dam. And I was the last to come up.
And to make it worse, it was at night.
Yeah, it was in the middle of the night.
Nobody could even see you anyways.
Yeah, that was the one occasion where I guess I faced death and realized that there wasn't any panic in it. I was actually very cool and calm about it. Maybe that's why I survived, and maybe my training was responsible for that. I don't know.
And that's this week's Fan Favorite. To see more popular videos, go to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/GrahamBensinger.